and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Well, actually, I live in Delaware now, so does that make me a Delawarean?
Keep singing, girl.
You know, Beyonce is my friend in my head. They my people sometimes, too. You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary enemy. Like, does that make me crazy?
Life as P, presented by Say What Radio.
Welcome to Life as P. I'm your host, Phoenix Ash. Thank you so much for joining me. If you are a new listener, thank you for trying me out. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, however you came across, just looking for podcasts and you found me. Good looking for checking in. If you are a repeat listener, thank you so much for always being here, allowing me a place to get off my thoughts. So, man, the thoughts, the actions, the things that have been speaking to me over the past week or so, I want to really talk about being mistaken, because I think, at least for me personally, the acceptance of being mistaken is a struggle. However, I think that overcoming that struggle could be the key to experiencing a lot less disappointment in my life. I think the horror, the awe of I might have been wrong is so emotional. It takes a huge toll on me. And I think a lot of us experience that, right? So like, we hate our job. And we go to the next job and we're like, it's so much better. It's going to be better. It's a better industry, better pay, better this, better that, whatever. And it's better for like 6 months. And then it's not better anymore. It's equally as miserable or more so. Or, you know, we find a ton of things to complain about. And we start questioning ourselves, like, did I make the right move? And sometimes it don't take 6 months. Sometimes it takes 3 weeks. Sometimes it takes 3 months. Sometimes it takes 2 years. But I feel like that moment of questioning, did I make the right decision, is a very daunting question. My mind says that there is no wrong decision, right? You made a move. This is the result of that move. Now you make another move. That's the advice that I give to myself so that I don't sulk over something that's dead and gone, which is the place of making a decision. That spot is dead and gone, right? I've already decided. I've already moved with that decision. And it took me a long time to get to that place within marriage, right? That did I make a bad decision by getting married? Like, B, you've been married for 50,000 years already. Like, you can't question the decision. You have to face the decision that's in front of you and move accordingly. And sometimes the fear of did I make a bad decision stops us from making the new decision. We get afraid that I'm going to make another bad decision. But what if the decision wasn't bad? What if it was right for the moment? What if it just needed to get you out of where you were and push you to the next spot in which you had to go? And that's what I'm starting to look at in terms of my life, that I didn't make the wrong decision to get married. I got a beautiful daughter out the deal who is my life, my sunshine, my world. I would never give her up. So I would never go back. And I know sometimes that's like, not to say I wouldn't have a daughter. I might have had one with someone else. But I understand that parts of her personality are her dad and parts of her personality are me. And this child, who I feel is perfect for me, is a makeup of us both. And I can't push aside the features, the, you know, elements that he contributed to, right or wrong, good or bad. It's part of her makeup. And then she has her own identity as well. It was a decision that I made at one time, just like divorce was a decision that I made at one time. Divorce, however, I can say this, I've never questioned that decision. Probably one of the few decisions in my life that I knew for sure was the right decision. which is crazy to me because I'm like, can I feel like that about some other stuff in my life? I need that. But I guess what I'm getting at, like, so many times I feel like we try to predict what's going to be the best move or the next move, what's going to shift our lives and change our lives. And I don't think we always know the magnitude of the decision we make. I don't think we always know that this particular decision right here is going to shift my life or change my life. Even divorce, as much as I knew that there was going to be a significant change in my life due to the divorce wasn't the only contributing factor to changes in my life. There was also the decision of building my circle, of the type of circle that I wanted to be in, the type of people that I wanted to be around. There was the decision of relocation. There was the decision of where I was going to live, what school my daughter was going to attend. At one point, it was shifting from working for a sponsor on site to working for a sponsor at home. All of these decisions happened around the same time. So yes, there was a major shift in my life. There was a huge impact. It wasn't the divorce alone. I think that if it was just divorce, not to say it wouldn't have a huge impact, but the impact's magnitude would not have been as great as it has been because there's been so many contributing factors to the change. Putting a lot of weight on one particular decision for it to change a life that has been years spent, years built, years cultivated, and years in the making of a change is a lot, is a lot. The decision may push us into a place where other decisions are easier or even where we come face to face with new decisions that we didn't fathom. But it's the group of those decisions, it's the group of those opportunities, the group of those changes that have the most impact. So when I break down a decision, I can give it less weight. Not that it's not important in my life, but it doesn't need to cause me anxiety. Because it's okay to be mistaken. It's okay if that one particular decision didn't pan out the way that I thought it would. Didn't have the, you know, longevity, you know what I mean. it didn't have that. It wasn't, you know, I have a friend who she worked in corporate and all her life she wanted to be in medicine and kind of feel like she missed the boat to go to school to be a doctor. So when she went back to school, she decided she was going to go for nursing. And, you know, she went 5 years, she got her bachelor's in nursing. I mean, this girl is so committed to studying, like, she's crazy. Got her degree, is working in the nursing field. I believe she's working in a hospital, doesn't like it. The weight of making a decision that she's facing right now can sometimes be very scary. Like, I went to school, I did all these years. I owe all this money for this degree that I think I may not want to use. How many of us feel like that? Like, I'm not even working in my degree. And the thing is, I think for us who have gotten our bachelor's, like in our 20s, in our early 20s, like if we're removed from that now, you know, we're at a place where like, girl, everybody got a degree that they don't work in the area. Like, <it's, laughs> you know, it's so common of a story that, you know, whatever my degree is in, that's not the job that I work in. It's a very common story. But I think for people who are getting their degrees later on in life, it's a little more scary. That, you know, I took all this time to think about what I wanted to do. I took all this time before committing to the financial burden that education can sometimes come with, just to find out I'm having this experience and it's not what I want. Now, granted, there's so many other places she could work. She can work in a doctor's office. She can work for an insurance company or whatever. But, you know, balancing what she would be paid for her services along with what those qualifications may take, it may mean that she has to work doing something she doesn't like for another year or two in order to qualify for those things that maybe she might like. She doesn't know. So that's scary. Like, oh my God, am I going to give it another 2-3 years to something that I know right now I don't like? And then if I know it 3 years from now, will I kick myself because I've given it 3 years and I knew I didn't like it? That is a little scary. And it's like, well, what if I make the wrong decision? But I would say that that one decision isn't the one decision that is going to be detrimental or terribly uplifting for your life. Make the decision. There's going to be other decisions that come with it and around it. And, you know, you pay attention and, you know, deal with them as they are. But they're all lessons. She's not going to leave the nursing industry with nothing. She's going to leave it with the experience. Like, you never know until you try. She has the experience. She also has the degree. She didn't have a bachelor's before. So she has a bachelor's now. So even if she goes back to corporate, what she can command financially in some companies, I know a lot of companies have relaxed, you know, the requirement of needing a bachelor's in order to make what the position pays. However, there's still a significant amount of companies that have not. So she has more options. Now she, you know, she also has the confidence. There was a element of confidence that she didn't have before because she couldn't put a bachelor's on her resume. So you're not going to leave with nothing. You're going to owe the money anyway. Whether you're happy, unhappy, you're going to owe the money anyway. It is. I'm ducking student loans from my master's right now. I praise them every time they extend the payback period. And I'm still like, shit, I haven't given them my new address. Like, I can really duck the government. But it's okay if that decision you thought was going to be so monumental turned out to be less so. It's okay. Because the other decisions that are going on, the other things that are happening, the other ways you're moving with intention are going to come together. And you're going to move forward. And when you look back, you're going to see that altogether, it had the momentum you were looking for because you made a bunch of decisions to put you in a position that you were looking to be in. And it's okay if you get to that position and it's still not where you want to be. It's okay. Make a new set of decisions. It's okay. Life, I believe, is trial and error. That's life, trial and error. And I think that we as humans put so much weight on these different things. Like, look at the credit system, you know. For a lot of us, like, we can't move forward or feel like we can't move forward or purchase certain things because our credit is not good. Our credit. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe credit is important, not necessarily because of the system in which it's set up in, but your history of paying back what you owe, your debt. That's important to me. That's part of your character. So, like, the fact that I care that I owe my student loans is part of my character, right? I can't owe someone and just be like, I forgot about it. It's on my mind. Like, yo, I owe these people. I know they're going to come want their money. And when it's time for them to collect, like, I'm going to have to write that monthly check. I'm just hoping that, like, they keep forgetting about me. I'm ducking it for real. But, you know, I pay my mortgage on time. I pay my car note on time, my car insurance on time, because that's my character. That's my integrity that, like, I borrowed this money. And so I'm going to pay it back in the way that I agreed to pay it back. And same with my student loans. Like I said, if they come knocking, I'm going to pay it back in the way that I agreed to pay it back. I'm also going to accept this deferment for as long as they let me. But I just think that, at least for myself, that there's too much weight on one thing and it makes me stagnant. I'm spending all this time brooding over the decision, and it's not really the decision because most times I know what I want to do. Most times I know what I feel led to do or what I think makes sense. The brooding is really about the prediction. Is it going to be what I think it's going to be? And I don't know that until I get there or until I don't get there. I don't know, but I don't know. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of when I do get there, if it's not it, there's a bunch of other decisions I can make. Now, I know it's a little difficult when you have children involved. Like, I totally understand that. You know, I have a 6-year-old daughter. And so, like, I don't move as freely as I used to or I can't even say freely, because honestly, she doesn't stop me from making any kind of move. Probably not as recklessly. Like, I think in my youth, I probably would have been quicker to be like, this not working, I'm gonna try this. This not working, I'm gonna do that. But now that I have a daughter, I'm like, okay, I still feel it's not working. I still feel that I'm going to do something else, but I have to be more focused about how to make a plan, an exit plan, and a landing plan. You know, what's it going to look like when we land, so that I disrupt as little of life for her as possible. While she's, you know, she's only been on this earth 6 years. She's still getting her feet under her. But decisions need to be made nonetheless. And I don't need to have anxiety about any of it. I'm okay. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was like having a bitch fest about, you know, past relationships and people in my life who I feel like had taken advantage of me and have made me into, like, I don't know what some people would probably consider a savage right now. I'm working on it. But, you know, just really feeling like, you know, it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It wasn't, honestly, it just wasn't nice. The way that people had treated me in the past, or even a couple years ago in my divorce and marriage and so forth. But what he said to me was, listen, you see all of that. You see the hurt. You see the pain. You see them taking advantage. You see what they tried to do. And you're offended by what they tried to do. I see that you've always been fine, that they've never been able to knock you but so low. You've always been able to afford a roof over your head, a car to drive, pay your bills, and your bounce back don't take long at all. I see that they have no power. They have never been able to break you. All you do is just continue to rise. You don't even lower. You don't cower. You just continue to rise. Your low point is like an even out. You don't dip. You just even out, but you don't dip. And that's what I see. And I was like, oh my God. Like, first of all, I'm in tears. Like, that's what you see. But, you know, thank God for friends who, like, can see more than what you can when you look in the mirror. Because now I'm like, well, yeah, I've been fine. Because now I'm back on my Brooklyn bully. Like, you can't break me. But I needed that. I needed that. I needed to shift perspective. I need to look at something else. And I think that that's what it is when we're making these decisions and we're trying to weigh out, was I mistaken and was this wrong? And, you know, it didn't pan out the way that I wanted to pan out. And like, so now my next decision, I got to put extra emphasis on the planning and thinking and brooding stage. And it's just, no. No, shift your perspective. It didn't do what you thought it would do, but it did something. And that's the purpose, that it did something. Because now you're at a stage where you're taking the next step. You may think it's just a different step, but it's actually the next step. You're actually going forward. You're getting closer to your goal. You're getting closer to what the universe has for you. You're getting closer to your purpose. It is the next step. It may feel like all you're doing is stepping to the side, but trust me, you're stepping forward. And I think that when we change our perspective and stop killing ourselves trying to predict what each step will do, trying to predict the exact way that we're going to make the life we want and make it better, it's all a loose outline. It really is. It's all, we can make a plan. You should have a plan. You should have something that you're targeting, that you're focusing. But if it doesn't pan out, it's okay to change the outline a little bit. It's okay if some details in the chapters get switched up a little bit. It's all right. You're still going forward. You're still turning the page. You're still getting closer to the end of the book. Keep going. Keep going. A lot of times when we, at least for myself, you know, I look back and be like, I spent all that time making that decision. You know, I was, to be completely honest, by the time I got divorced or was going through divorce, I don't know, maybe my daughter might have been four. I think I've been divorced for 2 years, 3 years. Did we start going through when she was three? Whatever. When she was 18 months, at least 18 months. It might have been before that. but I knew that I did not want to have more children with her father. I knew that whatever we were going through, however our life was set up or whatever, that no, I wasn't going to do this again. I love my baby, but the situation wasn't what I thought it would be for us to be parents together. So I was very clear at that point, like, nope, I got my blessing, one and done, don't want any more babies. Particularly because I was like, if I had another child, it would be with somebody else, right? And at the time, I was still in a marriage, and who knows how long it would have taken me to get out of that and whatever. And I was like, I'm getting old. So I was like, nope. But it was early on. And it wasn't my first time there mentally within our marriage where I was like, you know, this is going to be over at one point and possibly soon. It wasn't my first time. And I think about how afraid I was that I was making the wrong decision. And I lived unhappily for over a year, maybe two or three years. But I lived unhappily for quite some time while I was making the decision. I'd also offer to say that he was probably unhappy in that time because the energy that I had to be giving him, it's like, well, what do you do with that in your home? And so maybe he was afraid to make the decision and to go forward. You know, we had had a child. Child was very young. You know, the stigma of leaving your family behind, of not being the man in your child's life is heavy. So here we're two people afraid to make a decision, but we both know we're unhappy. And, you know, there's stuff that I did to try. I think I even did shows on it about, like, you know, focusing on the positive, not looking about what he's lacking or what he's not doing, and just look at what he is doing right and focus on that so that I could get more of that and see more of that. And that worked for a little while, but then, you know, I was back in the same spot and I was like, you know, this is not really what I want. And then to face that it never really was what I wanted. That's a show for another day, child. Had I been brave enough to accept that I was mistaken. Not that I made the wrong decision. I made the right decision for me at the time. We sometimes look like, you know, we're in a room and we're like, we're going to make the decision that's going to get us to the next room. But sometimes there's a hallway. And sometimes the decision that we make just put us in the hallway. And there are times where the house is so damn big that there's a couple of hallways we got to walk through. So some of that is just to carry us, keep carrying us to the next room. And we may have to turn the corner and walk another hallway before we get into the next room. And that's okay. And I think had I been brave enough the earlier times to think to myself, like, you know, maybe this was a hallway, because I was, you know, when I decided to get with my husband, I was feeling some kind of way. I had a bunch of situations that I just was like, oh my God, what is happening? I felt like I was spiraling and I needed some stability. I wanted to be with someone, one person, and I needed it to be stable. I needed it to be you for me for you, no matter what. And it was that at the time. And then there came a time where it was like, oh wait, this is not what I want. But I was like, well, I made the decision. I'm here now. I couldn't face that it had run its course. I couldn't face that I had gotten all that I was going to get from it. And so did he. Well, no, that's not true. He got a lot more afterwards. But I couldn't face that. I couldn't face being, I felt like it meant that I was wrong. And I wasn't wrong. I just was mistaken in how the impact should be. There was an impact and it did move me from where I was. But then I needed to make a new decision to move me forward. And I failed to do that until much later on. And thank God that he ain't forget about me so much that he just made me pay the price. It's like, you know, I was meant to be blessed with a daughter and she got here anyway, despite my holdup. But it's okay. If it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like, it doesn't mean that you didn't still move forward. We're not the great predictors. We're not all psychic. We're not all the best planners and strategists. It's great when we're right, right? We're like, yes, I knew that. I knew it. But it's okay to not know. It's all right. It's all right. Let that happen. Let that happen. Mistakes don't mean you fell or went back. They're all part of the process of going forward. So it's okay. It's okay that it didn't look like that. It's all right. Give yourself permission to change the outline. It's all right, because the universe is going to change that shit anyway. You might as well work with the universe and just go ahead, move it. All right, that's my little soapbox for today. But I want you to really think about it. You know, I feel like the most successful people don't hold on to things for very long. I think they, you know, accept where, okay, this didn't pan out the way I thought it would. This didn't look like what I thought it would. And they keep it pushing. And I think that helps in gaining success. And when they say don't be afraid to fail, and I don't even really think it's failure, because it's not final. It's just a struggle and part of the process of success. I mean, at least that's what I'm trying to teach myself, so I don't get hung up on the it didn't do what I thought it would do. Okay. All right. Well, if you want to support, I totally appreciate it. A lot of my books came down because I'm getting my rights back from my publisher, and Savage Fever is in the hands of the proofreader. So we're done with the edits and everything. We're getting it proofread before I send it to the young lady who's going to format so that we could get that book out there to you. Right now, In Her Makeup, my first novel, is available on Amazon as well as Kindle. And audiobook. So if you go to Audible, I think if you like sign up for Audible, you can choose your first book free or your first two or three books free. Choose In Her Makeup. Make it your free book. Make it your trial. And leave me a review. Let me know what you thought. Hit me up in my inbox. I'm at P Writes, and that's P-W-R-I-T-E-S on Twitter as well as on Instagram. If you want to join my reader book, it's Phoenix Fireflies on Facebook, and that's Fire, F-I-Y-A-H, Fire. But yeah, come join me. Let's talk about it. Tell me what your goals are, what you're working on. Give me something to champion for you. I'm here for you, just like you guys have been here for me. Thank you. I so appreciate it. Until the next time, and we can exchange power. Peace.